Let's get together before we get much older. Director's Cut. Written by There Must Be a Lock and read by Kaber. This is a Marvel-DC crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Clint slash Roy slash Jason and Logan, worse Wolverine, and Wade Wilson.
The Exodus is here. The happy ones are near. Let's get together before we get much older.
Clint's woken early by a gentle hand in his hair and a weight on the bed. He leans into the touch like an overgrown cat and peels his eyes open enough to squint up at Roy. Roy signs, "Jason and I are going out for a minute. We'll be back soon. Nat's on lookout." Clint's vaguely aware of a soft kiss on his forehead before he rolls over and falls back to sleep. When Clint finally puts his aids in and drags his ass out of bed, it's quieter and later than usual. It's unsettlingly quiet. Maybe they let him sleep in. He was up late with him last night. Kid's been having nightmares again, and they stayed up for hours playing Go Fish. Tim cheats. God, Clint would do despicable things for a cup of shitty bodega coffee right now. He opens the bedroom door and blinks. Roy dragged his favorite armchair into the hallway, and he's keeping watch through the open door of the spare room. Roy's got his bow within reach, and for all that he's sprawled out lazily, Clint knows he could have an arrow aimed and ready in the blink of an eye. All the kids are crowded around the open door, peering inside and attempting to whisper. Clint pokes his head around the doorframe and finds Deadpool and Wolverine sprawled out side by side on their backs, ankles and wrists webbed together. Both of their uniforms are absolutely covered in dried blood. Clint blinks again. Huh. Little Jay punches him in the thigh and loudly hisses, "Shh." Nat grabs Leanne in one arm and Tim in the other, and she sashays down the hallway without making a sound. Peter scoops little Jay up and crawls along the ceiling, with Jay clinging like a particularly grouchy baby sloth. Big Jason comes prowling down the hallway, eerily quiet, gun raised. "I got this," Roy says easily, with an exploding arrow aimed square at Wolverine's nuts. But Clint sticks around, figuring this'll go better if there's at least one familiar face present. Wolverine sits bolt upright, snarling, and then freezes when he sees Clint. Clint waves amiably.
"Last time I saw you, you were laying on the pavement with little birdies circling your head," Logan says, not particularly nicely. He retracts the claws. "Got anything to drink around here?" "Shit out of luck," Jason says coldly. Logan grimaces. "You gonna make us regret taking you in?" Roy asks. Logan considers it before saying, "Nah." Roy stands to guard Deadpool while Clint and Jason make Logan bunny hop down the hallway because they're assholes. "Coast is clear," Clint declares, and the kids appear out of the woodwork. Peter slowly descends from the ceiling upside down so he can get a better look at Logan's face. "No offense, dude, but you look like shit."
"I suppose you're the one responsible for this," Logan grumbles, holding up his webbed wrist.
"Yup," Peter says cheerfully, when Logan bats him away gently with his joined hands, like he's a tiny grubby pinata, he does a flip on the way down to the ground. "Can I test our new web-dissolving formula?" Tim asks, brandishing a spray bottle hopefully. I don't think it'll burn you, but just in case, I'd like to conduct the first human trial on someone with a healing factor.
Logan blinks at him a few times. I'm sorry, how old are you?
Roughly 8, Tim says, but the space-time continuum is unreliable here.
We think it has to do with the quantum physics involved, Peter offers, from his perch on top of the counter.
What the fuck? Logan says.
Tim, undaunted, takes that as an affirmative. He sprays the webbing gently, and it dissolves. Clint settles at the table next to Nat, who's been calmly munching her toast. He narrowly avoids catastrophe as Leanne clambers up onto his shoulders with zero regard for the squishy bits she might step on along the way, and he resigns himself to getting grape jelly in his hair again.
Care to explain, bub?
Logan asks him irritably. Clint exchanges a glance and shrug with Jason before Jason says,
Nah, we just have to say it all over again when the other one wakes up.
You really don't have any booze here?
Logan asks, rubbing his forehead.
No, Jason says, glacial. And if you mention it again, bub, I'm going to let Peter go full shalab on your ass before I toss you out of here.
Holy shit, Snacks, blurts out excitedly from the doorway. You're the real Hawkeye. Hey, can somebody... Aha! Thanks, little guy.
Roy, looming in behind Wade, draws the universally understood symbol for cuckoo in the coconut next to his head and then jabs a thumb at Wade.
Seriously, can you gag him?
Logan asks, jerking his chin at Wade, who is tugging his mask up and off to expose the lower half of his face. He signs along as he speaks, staring rhapsodically at Clint.
I can't believe you're stuck here while the main continuity gets Renner. Of all the options.
Leanne cups a hand around her mouth and stage whispers into Clint's ear.
What's he talking about, Dad?
No idea. Wait, how are you sticky again already?
Seriously, no disrespect to the acting, but the material? The writers gave him as much personality as a damn potato.
Before Clint can even parse that, little Jay mutters,
Your face looks like a potato.
Rude, but not inaccurate,
Wade concedes and sits down at the table. He reaches out to help himself to the last piece of toast, until Natasha skewers his outstretched hand with a knife, and he squawks.
No knives at the table, Nat. Come on, Roy sighs.
Well, no people knives, at least.
Natasha pulls it loose and holds it up with a wide-eyed, innocent glare that fools exactly nobody, demonstrating that it is, in fact, a butter knife.
I like this one, Logan says.
That's not fucking sanitary. Jesus fucking Christ, you're all heathens,
Big Jason says, snagging it from her hand.
Tim, no science before breakfast. Come on.
Tim hides his field notebook in his pocket and acts like he wasn't just surreptitiously checking Wade's skin for fresh chemical burns.
Where'd they all come from?
Wade asks, gesturing around at the assorted kids.
Little Jay snickers. Well, when two grown-ups love each other very much.
Guessing that's a you variant?
Logan asks, gesturing from Roy to Little Jay's red hair.
Big Jason smirks.
Nope.
Logan and Wade both cock their heads and squint.
This one's my bio daughter, actually, Roy says adoringly, scrubbing at Leanne's face with a napkin.
Sure enough, she grips Clint's hair like reins as she tries to get away from his ministrations.
Hold the front door. How the fuck did that work? Wade asks.
Because I just heard her call Hawkeye, Dad, and if you've been here for years, last I checked, 2 Audis still can't get the job done.
What century are you from? Nat asks sweetly.
Fox?
Here in the 21st, men can have babies too, she informs him, deadpan.
I was the one who found Leanne when she got here,
Clint says, there was a while where it was just the two of us, so she still calls me Dad. Roy confesses, she's a variant. Different universes. In my universe. He trails off, shrugging sadly. Oh.
Dipshit,
Logan mutters, and smacks Wade upside the head.
Yeah, I deserve that one, Wade says.
They're all my dad's now, though, Leanne says. Clint absolutely does not tear up. He doesn't like to think about the time before he found them all, when he first landed in the wasteland. He was alone for almost 2 weeks, he thinks, and if he hadn't found Leanne, he probably wouldn't have lasted much longer. He was never really built for solitude. He's still not sure how Jason made it as long as he did on his own, never mind the fact that Jason was sent here months after being tortured by the Joker in a cell under Arkham. He was alone for a long time. Nobody knows how long. Time passes strangely here. But it's easy to see it in his eyes when anybody asks him about the days before he found Natasha. Or rather, she found him. Dropped down on him with a homemade knife and damn near strangled him with her thighs before he could disarm her. She wasn't afraid of him or his ugly scars, unlike most of the people he'd met since Arkham. Natasha was 10, she thinks, when she landed. And already deadly. Between the two of them, they made a good team, and they started to trust each other, like feral alley cats who begrudgingly decided to share a warm corner of an attic. Tim and Peter managed to snare Jason in a trap they'd rigged up from twigs and what he then assumed was sticky, hand-woven rope. While he hung upside down, Natasha laughed herself silly, and then she knocked the pair of them out of a nearby tree with her slingshot, only for Peter to swing away mid-fall and stick his tongue out at her. Jason, once he was done being outraged that 2 6-year-olds had outsmarted him, was impressed. Somehow, Jason found himself the leader and protector of 3 viciously smart, half-feral children. As he tells it, it was the first time I ever felt a little bad for Bruce, but at least Nat never called me a boob. They were mostly nomadic for a while. Couldn't find a good spot to call home. Had maybe forgotten what home was like. Then they met Clint out in the woods one day. Clint nearly shot Tim before trying to give him a stern lecture about visibility gear. Natasha emerged to scold him right back, only for Clint to go pale and stare at her like he'd seen a ghost. "Nat?" he asked timidly, which was when she screamed for Jason at the top of her lungs. Clint's backpack started screaming, too. Jason recognized Leanne, went just as pale as Clint had at the sight of Nat, and once he saw her, it was pretty much a done deal that they'd all be sticking together. Clint had found an abandoned house in the woods, but after one sneak attack made him realize he couldn't defend it himself, he'd built himself a little treehouse in the backyard, out of scraps from the various wrecks he could salvage. Once there were 6 of them, though, they were able to set up a rotation of people to watch, and they gradually added a couple more treehouses around the perimeter, all connected by walkways made by Peter's webbing. It was, if Clint was being honest, the home he'd dreamed about ever since he was 7, when his mom read him Swiss Family Robinson. They found little Jay stealing food from the kitchen about a month after they moved in. He called Jason a boob and was promptly adopted. And then there was Roy. He staggered out of the woods dead-eyed and wrecked, and Clint almost took his shot. Roy begged him to take his shot. He's very fucking glad he didn't. He'll never, ever forget the look on Roy's face when he heard Leanne's voice and saw her in Jason's arms, or the way he'd hug Clint. "You kept the best parts of my heart safe," was the way he said it. These days, when he looks around their home, Clint knows exactly what he meant. Wade gives them the whole save the world pitch, but ain't a shot in hell, Jason says succinctly. There's a sticky grape jelly kiss decorating the brand on his cheek. Clint smiles. Not for all the shitty bodega coffee in the world. Your world is that picture? Ours is right here, Roy tells him fiercely. Our neighbors might be willing to help out, though. The end.
To prove!